Then we come to this NCAA tournament where the Titans upset Louisville at the Mabee Center in round 16. Can you comment on that game, Coach?
Yeah, we beat Louisville, and we also beat
Syracuse.
To get to those games.
Yeah, they beat Syracuse, then they beat Louisville.
You beat Syracuse first.
Right.
And then at the Mabee Center, you upset Louisville. 96-93.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then Kansas beats Creighton 55-54 in the semifinals. Eddie Sutton was coaching Creighton at that time. So he almost beats Kansas. But then we come to the big game where Kansas beats ORU 93-90, and that was in overtime.
Mm-hmm. We were leading the whole game. They came back.
Kansas rallied from a 9-point deficit over the final 4 minutes and 47 seconds of regulation time. Mm-hmm. Kansas then survived when Al Boswell for ORU missed a last-second shot and then won in overtime as their super sub Tommy Smith scored two baskets in the final 44 seconds.
Right.
Sam McCants scored 30 points, and Anthony Roberts had a key tip-in and two foul shots as ORU rallied past Louisville in the other semifinal. Any outstanding memories of that game that came so close to beating Kansas that would have put ORU in the final four? Can you remember some of those feelings?
I can remember, you know, we had to lead. We started turning the ball over. We were playing great at first. Then at the end of the game, we started making mistakes, and then they started making shots and stuff. You know, it just was a great game.
And we should point out that Ted Owens was the coach of Kansas in that major game. So close. Do you remember after the game if Oral came around and visited with the team and you?
But I promise you, it did not affect me, that game. I mean, it was over, and I'm there the next day cleaning out my locker and everything. I wasn't unhappy.
When the Titans upset, because that was an upset.
Oh, yeah, big upset.
To beat Louisville.
Oh, yes.
We don't have to talk about this, but you were pulled over by police and charged with a DWI. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to talk about that at all, that's fine.
I'll tell you exactly. Exactly. Jim Bratton was there.
Who's Jim Bratton?
He's like a brother to me, one of my teammates in high school. And he was with me. I had not eaten. I was tired because there was a lot going on. I walk out with my friend Jim Bratton. And there's a police car. I couldn't make this up. Right over here was a policeman. I mean, a
highway patrol.
And I saw him there. And Jim said, "The highway patrol is there." I said, "Well, I ain't done nothing." And I had not been drinking. I don't give a damn what they say. The next thing I know, this guy pulls me over. And just like it was today, I couldn't do this healing toll thing.
Oh, he asked you to walk the line.
Bratton was saying, "Well, what's he done?" So he takes me down to the police, and he's going to give me a
breathalyzer.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking it was anything. Well, I haven't done anything. I don't know that this happened, but there are people who think that somehow it could have happened with somebody from Tulsa because we were about to ruin Tulsa. At this time, if we win that thing,
the next game, you mean?
Well, the whole thing. I mean, what we're doing.
So, do you think you were set up on this?
I don't know, because I wouldn't even. I mean, I swear to goodness that I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you be that damn dumb? I guess on my part, if I'd have just gotten the car and Jim Bratton
let Jim drive.
Yeah. I got on the phone and called Bobby Seacrest, who's one of my dearest friends. He called his big time friend, and he came up there. He said, "Hell, he's not drinking." But there was a deal going on to that. But you can't get people to believe that because they laugh. And there were a lot of people who thought.
Are you saying you didn't drink at all or you had one drink?
No. When I go in this place, I swear to God, I was ahead of that whole thing. And I stopped in different places just to see who was there. J.V. Haney and Terry Scott, now they were drinking. Those guys were drinking. But I was not drinking. Did you not take anything? No, I didn't take anything.
But then they did a breathalyzer on you.
Well, let me just tell you, that ain't hard to do.
But it came out with a DWI, and it had to be terribly embarrassing.
No, yes, I guess. But I took that just like I've done all my life. When that thing happened, I had already made my deal that I was leaving. And I ended up coaching that last game.
You did. Did Oral speak to you when this all came out?
Oh, yeah.
What did he say to you?
Oh, he was wanting me to stay. He didn't want me to leave. And he'd give anything for me not to go. And I'm not so sure that that may have been part of all this. Because I had already, that had already been told.
There was no drinking in the honor code, and so I was just wondering if Oral came to you and said, hey, don't worry about it. You got a big game coming up, and let's just move on to that game.
All right, but hell, I wasn't drinking. I wouldn't do that there at the school. There was some shenanigans about that there. But, boy, they like to jump on that, real quick.
Y'all was in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And getting ready to play Kansas.
Yeah.
It's big press.
Right. That was a big, big story.
Yeah.
And you were caught in the midst of all of that and had to be tough.
I just handled it just like I would do anything else.
You just had to put that out of your mind as you went to coach the team for this big game with Kansas.
When that happened, I walked up to President Roberts' house and knocked on the door. And I said, I'm going to talk to you. I said, this is not going to be the right thing because Jack Sutter is going to get caught up in all this. That was my assistant. And a good one. I said, I need to coach this team tomorrow. So we were talking, and that was all it was.
So you went to Oral's house?
Sure. I just walked up there.
You told him right away what happened?
Well, yeah.
He never questioned whether you should coach the game.
No. Why would OR ever want me to come back and coach at ORU again?
Right.
Why?
You left for Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any pressure for you to leave, or are you?
Oh, I had already resigned there. I was resigned there with 10 or 12 games left that I was going to finish with.
Why would you leave when you were so successful? I mean, you were almost into the Final Four.
I wanted out. When you do what I had to do, all this stuff, I wanted just to be a basketball coach and not have to do all of the other stuff. I was wore out. I mean, I loved President Roberts. I've never done anything but call him President Roberts. I've never called him Oral. But he tried every way in the world. Ruth Rooks told me later, he just liked to never got over that.
That you left?
Yeah. He and I were unbelievable.
You had a close relationship with him, didn't you?
Yeah. He would have taken me back. They were calling me. I was at the NCAA, and Bill Connor called. He said, the word is that you're going to come back after all this. I said, I don't know where that's coming from, but I'm not coming back if I don't get a job. That's not what I want to do.
You go to Iowa State, and then over the next 13 seasons, ORU went through 5 coaches, bad publicity. The team was placed under a one-year NCAA ban in 80-81 under Coach Ken Hayes for recruiting and other violations. Ken Hayes was fired at Christmas time. Bad public relations in 82. I, of course, remember that.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem to me that in the eyes of the public, the program never, ever came back to what it was in the days when you two were there. That firing of Hayes at Christmas time just put a nail in the coffin of ORU basketball in this town. I came in 76. That was Anthony Roberts' time.
Right.
And I suppose it was with you, too. The place to be seen was at the Mabee Center for your games.
Yes.
Everybody would come up for that buffet lunch, dinner in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in town, if you wanted to be seen, that's where you'd be.
Be at Oral Roberts' game.
And I got in on some of that. And hardly anybody was going to the TU games or anything else.
Everybody was coming to Oral Roberts.
And they all came there. But when Ken Hayes was fired, that all went away. Then Ted Owens, he had 2 scandal March seasons. ORU gets rid of Owens. So we have all of this going. So you returned, and there's more on this, but you came back in 1987. Why did you?
I didn't particularly want to come.
Where were you coaching?
I was coaching there at the...
Were you at OCU then?
The junior college in President Roberts. You know, that's that stuff again. He wasn't going to let it go. I told Ted, he's not going to let it go. I wasn't trying to get Ted Owens' job. I didn't want his job. I could have helped Ted Owens a great deal. I wasn't into trying to be the head basketball coach or anything else.
No. But they wanted Ted Owens to move on. And it wasn't because of you. It was because of these violations. Then Oral wanted you to come in as a coach. So did that take a long time to convince you to come back?
Yeah. First of all, I knew that it wasn't going to be like it was. Because the thing that hurt, I think, is when they tried to go into these conferences. I would have never let that happen. I would have never let it happen.
But wasn't it a way for them that if they win their conference, they get an automatic bid to the NCAA?
No, that's what people say. You say, why would you want to go back and be the coach? Because I could get those 12 or 14 big-time games, and then I could have some local teams. Maybe you could play around. But no. This Summit League?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. No, that's not what this is all about.
But isn't that because if they win that Summit League tournament, then they get automatically bid?
Yes.
And that's what drove this.
They want to get the automatic bid, yeah.
Right.
They all say that.
Mm-hmm. But it's true, though. It is.
No, I don't think it's true. How often have they gotten it?
Well, that's their fault. But the opportunity is there. The opportunity is there.
But you've got a rinky-dink schedule. Why would you want that? We wanted to play big. Always play big. Brooks, I love Brooks, but that would be the kind of thing he'd like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why would you want to be one of those rinky-dink conferences? I mean, just think about it.
It's only because if they win that conference, then they get automatic bid to the NCAA, and that's what drives that. And it's tougher, probably, to get recognized or ranked if you're an independent,
right.
I believe. You guys would know better than I, but that's got to be the reason that they go into that.
Well, I've never believed it. I just think there's enough good teams. They need teams.
Mm-hmm.
Honest to goodness, they need teams.